the apostles. It tells you the different types of opposition that will come when revival comes forth. But it tells you the proper response is in prayer. Look at them. The proper response is in prayer. I do not believe that Christians should do anything else but pray. Some Christians would do this, do that, use natural means, use their talents, etc. I believe that the resource of the church from the book of Acts and during these 2,000 years of church history is the power of prayer. Prayer can do wonders. And the apostles in Acts chapter 4, in verse 23, when they were let go, they reported all these things and then they prayed to God. They prayed to God for more grace, more anointing, more signs and wonders to confirm His word. But it also tells you how God answers prayer. You saw the opposition that came out in Acts 4 and they prayed to God. But notice in Acts 5, as the opposition increased, see how God answers prayer. Do you know that God doesn't want that persecution will always be there, but do you know that the church is to pray for peace and not pray for persecution? A lot of Christians read the book of Acts and they saw how the church evangelized and because of persecution. And then they start teaching people, pray for persecution. You don't have a single scripture and verse for that kind of prayer. In opposition, they pray for the conversion of the opposers. Have you ever seen them pray in the book of Acts? Look at Stephen when he died. He prayed, God forgive them. I know a lot of Christians when they are opposed, they are praying for judgment. They are not like Stephen. He prayed, Lord, don't lay this charge to them. That's how we win the world to Jesus. We want to leave behind us many people turn to the Lord. You don't want to leave behind you a scorched, burned ground. And I believe what happened in Acts 5 is a result of their prayer. In Acts 5, God raised up someone in the opposition to stand for them. All you do is pray. And here the opposition got heated in Acts 5 and in verse 17. The high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the set of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles, put them in a common prison. The angels opened the prison and they went out to preach again. And they couldn't find them. And sent for them again. And this time, look at what happened. Look at the hand of God. In verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and took counsel to kill them. When they wanted to kill them, God raised up Gamaliel. Gamaliel. And look at who Gamaliel was. He was also Paul's teacher, incidentally. Acts 5, verse 34. One in the council stood up. A Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And then Gamaliel sort of prevented them from doing the wrong thing. I believe that was the hand of God. Look at what they wanted to do. They wanted to kill the apostles. Say, God answers prayers. And Gamaliel basically said these words, we summarize for him. He says, if it's of God, don't oppose it lest you be opposing God. If it's not of God, he will die a natural death. And everybody listened to him. God got his people. Now this is not the first time in the book of Acts. There are other times in the book of Acts, in Paul's life. Remember when Paul was in danger? Every time when he's in danger and he's not supposed to die yet. Because if he died, the story cannot continue. Every time when there's danger and he looks like he's going to die, there's always something that happens that turns the chains of events. And all because Christians learn to pray. I'm sure you read church history. You read about the time when the church was heavily persecuted. And I believe because of the prayers of the saints, they went into a period when Christians became accepted. It became the what called holy. The Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire. But guess what? It is when they are being blessed, prosperous, that Christians began to go astray too. Which is a lesson we must learn from history so that it's not repeated. At a time when the Reformation was beginning and the Bible was being printed, the first person who translated the Bible into the common language of the people died. There was definitely opposition. And then one of the Bible translators, as he was being burned at the stake, his last prayer was, God, open the eyes of the King of England. He was an Englishman. And then he died. That was the last prayers of God's people who died powerful. But don't wait till you're about to die to be powerful. Sometime after that, something happened to the King of England, and his name was King James. And he authorized a translation to be made for the people. And you have in 1611 the King James Version. Through one prayer. Look what prayers can do. But it's important, since we're on that subject, I'm going to run forward to parts of the book of Acts. It's important for us to take note of this, that Christians have a responsibility to society. Don't take hardship and every opposition as something unreasonable. Because sometimes from the other side, it looks reasonable. But it's very important for Christians to understand this. At no time did the apostles or the early Christians break any legal law. I repeat, at no time ever in the book of Acts did any Christian ever break any legal law at all. Let me show from Paul's life. And since we're talking about Paul, I'm going to talk about this subject of his. You notice that when Paul was beginning in the ministry, he got bashed up a few times. In case you didn't know that, let's read Acts 14. Here he is starting in his ministry. And in verse 19, Jews from Antioch, Acts 14:19, Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Then they must have prayed he revived. And so he got all these interesting experiences. Then you have Acts 16, in verse 23, when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And then, when they were there, they learned to worship God with all the stripes and chains around them. And something interesting happened. While they were there, a miracle took place. Earthquake came, the chains came off, and the jailer got converted. And look at verse 35. When it was day, the magistrate sent the officer saying, "Let those men go." The keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, and then verse 37, Paul said, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans." That was the first time. I have studied the life of Paul exhaustively. And I sought to answer to myself, to satisfy my curiosity and my inquisitiveness, why Paul need to go through those things. And in my mind the question was, should it happen or should it not? And one of the things I noticed in Paul's life was this. He learned the value of his Roman citizenship. He didn't learn it at the beginning. He seems to have learned it as he grew. He learned like any new minister. He learned to harmonize the spiritual and the natural. So that you don't break the natural laws unnecessarily in terms of fasting, prayer. And you never break natural laws. They are the legal laws of any land. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul mentioned that, verse 38, all the magistrates were afraid. And it must have made a big impression on Paul's mind. They came and pleaded with them, brought them out, escorted them out of the city. As Paul was walking out that day, he learned something. If I learn and know the value of Roman citizenship and use it at a proper time, I never need to be beaten up. There was one time when he was very close to it. That's in the book of Acts. And chapter 22. Verse 24. The commander ordered him, that is Paul, to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging, so that he might know why they shouted so against him. As they bound him with thongs. Now look at him. He's already tied up, ready to be beaten. He's going to kena again. Here he is, bound up with thongs. And as he stood there, and the person who gave him the whip going to raise it up. And he says, "Is it lawful for you to do this to a Roman citizen?" And the person, when he heard it, threw the whip away. Do you know something that Paul learned? I found that from the day he learned the value of his Roman citizenship, he had fewer beatings. The unnecessary one got cut off. But remember this, the words that he spoke to Festus. The words that he spoke to Festus, Felix, and then Festus in Acts 25. Look at what he said in verse 11. "If I am an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which this man accused me, no one can deliver me today.